And today we have a message as we close out 2025 and look for 2026, because if you're anybody, you know, around this year, you start thinking about maybe a New Year's resolution. You think about maybe some of the resolutions. You're like, I do vaguely remember something back in 2025 of January. And so I want us to go over the idea that while we cannot control what happens in 2026, we can decide what we invest in for 2026. Does that make sense? You can't control 2026, but you can control what you invest in for 2026. So we're going to go through just some teachings of Jesus together to help us focus in and try to be intentional of what we're going to invest in for 2026. So Matthew chapter 7, if you want to turn there, that's where we'll be today, Matthew 7 and Matthew 11. So if you find Matthew, you're going to be in a really good place. You're going to be there. And so if not, we're going to put the verses on the screen because we want you to follow along. We believe the word of God is rich, it's powerful, has this ability to correct us and speak to the depths of our heart and help us to be whole and healthy. And so Matthew 7, if you don't have a Bible, we'd also love to give you one for free. Matthew 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and we cast out demons in your name, and we performed many miracles in your name.' But I'll reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" If there's a teaching from Jesus that should make every person in church sit up a little more straight, these are them. Right here, these verses are the ones that if you weren't, you know, if you were already tuning out because this dude up here was already preaching, these verses should make us sit up a little bit and go, now what? What did Jesus just say? Jesus says in these that only those who do the will of the Father will enter into heaven. Okay, most of us, if we go to church, we go, yeah, that checks out, that makes sense. But it's what Jesus says next that's super interesting if you saw that. Jesus then goes on to say, even people who perform miracles will not enter. Jesus says, even those who cast out demons won't necessarily enter in. Those who did all these great works in the name of Jesus won't necessarily enter in. And what that teaches us quickly is just because you do Christian things does not mean you know Christ. Just because you do Christian things doesn't mean we know Christ. And that probably makes a lot of sense if you've been around church long enough. If you've been around church long enough, you have known probably the realization that there's people who learn how to do Christian things, but they don't know Christ. And Jesus says, look, you can even do some of the most powerful public things. You can go cast out demons. And you may not even believe in demons. You may not believe in that. I can just tell you from personal experience, you ever get around someone who is manifesting a demon and you will no longer have the belief that that's not real. Because it is. Just because, and we're going to talk about this idea, just because you haven't experienced something doesn't mean it's not true. And so Jesus says, look, you can even do something as powerful as cast out a demon. Doesn't mean you know me. You can do something of performing a miracle. Doesn't mean you know me. If you go read the book of Revelation, which is not where I tell people to start if you're going to read the Bible, but it is in the Bible, and I do think it's a great thing to study. Just don't start there. That's more the end of the book. If you go read Revelation, you're going to see one of the things we're told in toward the end times is there's going to be people who deceive many because they have the ability to perform miracles. So just because you can perform miracles inherently does not mean you know Christ or are submitted to Christ. And so what's going on in these verses is we're told at the very end, I never knew you, get away from me, those who break God's law. If you've been traveling with us through the past couple weeks, this is super interesting because Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, he came to fulfill it. And so when he says those who break the law, if you remember, there's another thing that Jesus teaches is he says, hey, there's a summarization. If I could tell you two things to summarize all of God's law, many of you would know what that is, or some of you would be. His two main things he tells them, if you want to fulfill God's law, is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So what Jesus is trying to teach in all of this, he goes, look, you can go out and cast out demons, perform miracles, do all these great Christian-looking things, but if you don't love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, it's not going to end up counting when it matters most. That's what Jesus is saying, is you can live your entire life doing things that people applaud and think highly of you, but you've missed the one person who's supposed to say, well done. And as we head into 2026, I want to ask, are you just trying to learn how to do Christian things, or are you trying to know Christ more? That's the focus we need to have as we head into 2026, because Jesus teaches that really matters. That's what is going to matter at the end, is does Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant, I knew you, or is Jesus going to say, you did a lot of good things, but I don't know you. And the language here that he's using, it's not that Jesus doesn't intellectually know who you are. What he's saying is, you didn't have a relationship with me. That's what Jesus is saying in the depth of this is, when he says, I don't know you, it doesn't mean he's like, I've never heard of you. It's saying, you didn't have a relationship with me. Look what he says on in the next verses here. Verse 24. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. That is something we should highlight or circle. We go, Jesus is literally telling, this is wise to do. We should listen to that. It's like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. As we head into 26, what we just discussed is we don't have an ability to control next year, right? Well, the scripture is telling us, look, you may even be following what Christ teaches and you may be wise. That's not going to negate floodwaters coming and winds coming and all of these things coming to test what God's trying to build in your life. You're not exempt from that. I don't know if next year you may face floodwaters or you may face winds, but what he's saying is that should be the testing of what you've built. What have you invested in? Verse 26 says, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. So as we head into 2026, in this context of this, I want to ask a question, is what is guiding your life good intentions or a true belief? Is what is guiding your life good intentions or a true belief? The reason I ask that is good intentions will keep you comfortable. Good intentions will just keep you comfortable without growth. Good intentions, good resolutions, good ideas for 2026, they'll keep you comfortable without growth. I can have every intention that I want to lower my body fat percentage, but a good intention does not mean it's going to change how I eat. Some of y'all can relate to that, okay? You're like, you head into 2026, and you're like, Pastor Phil, me and you, it's going to be the year. Well, good intentions aren't going to change your life, and they're not going to change our spiritual life. You may have every good intention to become a better follower of Jesus, but good intentions keep us comfortable without growth. Listen, but belief will drive action even when it's hard. Belief will drive action even when it's hard. You know I talk about this from time to time, but the Greek language, and I'm not hating on the English language, it sounds like that. I'm not hating, I'm just pointing out a difference. The Greek language, they have a lot of words that have a lot more depth than our English language. You know, English a lot of times is very simple. You know, what I mean by that is we have one word for love, and it is, I love cheeseburgers and I love my wife. We only have one word, but most of us know there's a difference, right? There should be. Well, in the Greek, they have multiple words for love. Like, there's this the nuance and depth to the Greek, and that's what the New Testament was written in, was Greek. And so sometimes when it's translated in English, it's not that it's incorrect, but just sometimes we don't always understand there's even more richness to it that we don't see sometimes. And the word for belief in Greek, one of them is pisteo. And it's this depth to this word of belief. It means not just an intellectual knowing, but a one where you personally know and it drives how you live. So when we say belief in English, a lot of times we don't have that depth that they would have understood in that context in the original language of what it means to believe. It's not just an intellectual, you know, knowledge. I intellectually know something as a belief. What they were talking about is it a belief that absolutely drove how you lived your life regardless if floods came, if winds come, if things were difficult. It's a belief that constantly drives how you live regardless of what's happening. And so I want to ask, what is your belief? Because good intentions will not get you very far next year. But if you have a belief, it will drive how you live next year regardless of what happens in 2026. And so as we start to read Matthew 7 and we see Jesus teaching, look, just because you can perform miracles and cast out demons and do all these good things, it doesn't mean you know me. And Jesus then goes on and says, look, you will have your life tested. There will be floodwaters, there will be winds, and what it's going to test is, are you building on sand, something flimsy that's not going to last, or do you have a belief in Jesus because of what he's taught, and you put it into practice, and it's built something that even when tested, it will last. Because just because you know the Bible doesn't mean you've submitted to the Bible. Just because you know the Bible doesn't mean you've submitted to the Bible. It's Jesus says he was teaching these things. He didn't say, and for those who have never heard what I've taught, they're unwise. No, no, no. Jesus says, for those who have heard what I've taught and you didn't put it into practice, you're like building on the sand. It's not going to last. He says, you're wise if you hear what I've taught and you've submitted your life to it. It's turned into a belief that drives your actions. And so as we head into next year, what is your belief? What is actually driving your actions? Who do you actually know? Have you learned to do Christian things, or do you know Christ? Because that's going to impact what happens next year. Not your circumstances, but in your soul. Jesus goes on to teach, I don't have these verses in the notes, but he goes on to teach something. Jesus says, what is of greater value than your soul? I think it's so interesting. We live in our American context. Everything's got a price, right? Like, if you go to Ingles, you know, and if you don't have a panic attack looking at their prices, you see everything has a price. If you want to go buy a house, it has a price. If you want to buy a car, it has a price. Everything has a price. But if you think in our American context, We were like, well, I don't know the price of a soul. I can't go down to Ingles and ask. I don't have a sign in the front of my life. This is the price of my soul. But Jesus says, listen to me. That is the most valuable thing in life, is your soul. But in our context, many times we don't grasp that. It's not what's valued the most in our society. Matthew 11, if you flip a couple chapters forward, will give even higher message. What are you carrying into 2026 that you need to let go of? What are you about to carry into 2026 that God is saying you need to let go of this at the soul level? Because when I ask that question, the Lord's like, they're going to hear it in the American way and think it's some physical action. And maybe something that God needs to do with your soul will influence a physical action. I'm saying that's possible, but that question is not physical action first. It's soul action first. Because he says, I'll give rest to your soul. Are you carrying an anger or a bitterness or an unforgiveness? Is it something in your soul that you need to not carry into 2026? Because we can't control our experiences. We can't control our circumstance. We can't control what I'm doing these things in order that I may know Jesus. Whether it's tech or worship or children's, there's something that is unlocked spiritually when you get around people who love Jesus and they're going the same direction as you.